Hi, Kareem.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. So this is Mark Goldberg with the UN Affairs blog, UN Dispatch. I'm very pleased to be today talking with the filmmaker Kareem Krobog, the director of the new film War Child, which is the amazing story of Emmanuel Jalv, of a child soldier turned world hip-hop star. Kareem, I guess maybe to open this up, why don't you, I guess, sort of tell us briefly sort of Emmanuel's story, who he is, and how you came to find him.
Sure. Emmanuel is a former South Sudanese child soldier who participated in the war at the age of 7 years old. He participated very actively for 5 years and has an extraordinary tale to tell. He fought with the Southerners as part of the SPLA, fighting what then was essentially the Northern regime in Khartoum, and which still exists today. The war in Southern Sudan is slightly different from what we know in Darfur, but it was a very long war, and that the second part of the war lasted 20 years and claimed over 2 million people's lives and also displaced over 4 million people. Emmanuel then, through the great fortune and the help of a British aid worker called Emma McCune, was smuggled from Sudan into Kenya and then ended up in London, where he became a hip-hop musician. And he's been using his music to bring attention to what's going on still in South Sudan, but also in Darfur now, and is a very active spokesperson for child soldiers around the world.
That was very succinct. It's true. The film is pretty remarkable. It's not out yet, but how might viewers be able to see it if they wanted to?
We finished the film in February, and we will premiere the War Child documentary at the Berlin Film Festival. Mm-hmm. We have been traveling for the last 6 months with it around the world. I think we hit some 16 countries. Mm-hmm. And we're going to open in New York on November the 14th and in Washington, D.C. on December the 4th or 5th. And then we're going to roll it out across the states over the sort of the next couple of weeks after that. And I think we're also going to release our DVD simultaneously, and that's going to be also out in the end of November.
Mm-hmm. About a year ago, through your introduction, I had a chance to meet Emmanuel, he truly is a remarkable person. And, you know, you can tell he's very scarred by the experiences he's had, mm-hmm. and to him it seems, and he explains this, that the hip hop he produces, the music he produces, is cathartic.
Yes.
How did he sort of emerge onto the scene as a hip hop star?
It's a really good question. When we visited Sudan and Kenya, it became sort of clear to us that he could only be a musician. Music is very intrinsic to the culture in Africa, especially in South Sudan. And he always tells us that even at a young age, they used to play with essentially sticks and do rap beats, or what would be very close to rap beats, and essentially fight off with other children and compose poetry. That sort of, I think, set the background for his music. When he arrived in Nairobi, he spent a lot of time in the slums and was assisted by another lady, I believe her name is Momo, Lady Momo, who essentially put him into a very preppy school in Nairobi. And at the same time, he also started essentially joining the church. And the church there has a lot of gospel music, and he sort of found his, I guess, talent for music, and used it as a form to heal himself and to really address the issues that were still demonizing him, the trauma from the war, all the people he left behind, the death and his family. And I think found a good home within the church and also within the school, and Emma's friends. Emma's the lady who rescued Emmanuel out of Sudan. And I think it sort of just grew as something that he really cared about, and he really felt very, very good making music.
Now let's talk about sort of his sort of early life. How he went from living in a you know, not stable but not terribly destructive environment to having his sort of mother killed, his aunt raped in front of his eyes, mm-hmm. and then being his father, who was a SPLA. A member of the Southern People's Liberation Army, a mm-hmm. Southern rebel against the government forces in the north, sent mm-hmm. him to Ethiopia, to work in a refugee or to live in a refugee camp there. Is that right?
Yes. What essentially happened was that as the population of South Sudan was dwindling, it is a fairly unpopulated area in South Sudan in a huge landmass. I think the SPLA started to recognize they were running out of manpower, and each of the villages had to make contributions to essentially the war efforts. And Emmanuel's father, who held a very high rank in the SPLA already, had particular pressure to lead by example. And what happened was all these children were collected, many as young as 5, 6, 7 years old, and essentially sent to Ethiopia, which had a regime that was very friendly towards the Southern Sudanese. And I don't know, there are these famous images that still have been shown actually quite a few documentaries of these many, many children walking around essentially the desert and the steppe. And Emmanuel was one of these children, and they tracked to Ethiopia, and there were trained in what were largely United Nations refugee camps. And Emmanuel stayed there for quite a while, and then a lot of the children left the camp, and many ended up in Kenya in the refugee camps. A big group of children ended up going back to Sudan to actually fight in the war. And Emmanuel essentially is not a lost boy, but a child soldier by terminology, although it really is irrelevant at the end of the day. But he ended up being in southern Sudan and participating in the war. But they did pretty horrible training. They were really equipped to fight, but it's also important to understand that they were not fighting a war in which they were really forced to participate. Many of the children found essentially a home with the SPLA. They were given education and food and stability, and many of them had already lost their families anyway.
Now, when Emmanuel's in this camp in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. there you have some absolutely amazing footage in this film of mm-hmm. of a 9-year-old. He looks, I mean, he doesn't know how old he is to this day, but mm-hmm. He looks as if he's 7, 8, or 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he emerged. I guess he was a very charismatic young kid, and he's charismatic to this day, but. Yeah, I guess he emerged as something of a spokesperson for the children in this refugee camp that okay. doubled as training grounds for child soldiers. But I was amazed to see that you actually had film of him, and it seemed like a lot of it when he was just about mm-hmm. 8 years old.
No, what you're referring to is exactly true. We were very, very fortunate to find footage of Emmanuel as a 7-year-old child in the Ethiopian refugee camp. And what was particularly interesting to see was that Emmanuel already at that young age had a certain sense of star power. He really emerged as a spokesperson for all the children in the camp. Every time the United Nations essentially appeared in the camp, he was the one who essentially had to speak on behalf of the kids. And I think it's no surprise that he ended up being a much larger spokesperson today, and a musician and an activist and a global figure. He already had all this charisma at that young age. And for us as filmmakers, this was, of course, particularly lucky that we were able to use this footage and find it.
And one day in the middle of the night, while he was at this camp in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. some children organized an escape.
That's right,
and
yes.
And Emmanuel was sort of woken up in the middle of the night and told to hurry up because we're leaving. And mm-hmm. This moment, this journey, and it was something like 2 months before he, in which he was wandering in the desert mm-hmm. with a group of sort of fleeing child soldiers. Mm-hmm. Can you describe? I guess this seems to be a moment. You know, his life is clearly marked with a lot of tragedy and with a lot of trauma, mm-hmm. but this sort of moment seemed to be something that he revisits and that he talks about, that he sings about a lot.
Yes. What happened was that I think the children at the end of the day felt it was enough. They didn't want to fight anymore. They wanted to go back to their villages, really find out who was still alive, and reconnect with siblings and fathers and sisters and grandmothers that were rumored to be all over South Sudan. And I think a group of elder children and adults decided it was time to essentially escape. And they essentially asked Emmanuel to join them. They woke him up in the middle of the night and said, pack your bags, we're leaving. And they'd already prepared everything, and they walked out of the camp. And I think that journey is probably one of the most harrowing part of Emmanuel's life. It was miserable. They were attacked by lions. by crocodiles. They ran out of food. There was even cannibalism going on to a large extent. Emmanuel luckily didn't have to do it, but he was very tempted. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people perished along the way. But after that trek, he ended up running into Emma McCune, which is the lady that ended up saving him and smuggling him out of South Sudan. And this is when his life really turned around.
And Emma McCune is a well-known figure in sort of that part of the world, and is sort of an amazing story herself. Can you tell us a bit about Emma McCune?
Yes, Emma McCune is a very, very fascinating woman. She was a young British aid worker who had essentially always lived in Africa and had a tremendous love for that continent and also for South Sudan, and was very active on behalf of children. She, interestingly enough, in one instance, tried to confront a Southern Sudanese commander and wanted to tell him, listen, you can't use child soldiers, they're kids, this is wrong, and had a big debate with him and ended up falling in love with this guerrilla commander called Riek Machar, who then also changed in many ways his tune and let a lot of the kids go. But it's a very dramatic story of this idealistic woman who falls in love with a Southern Sudanese guerrilla commander, ends up smuggling a child soldier from South Sudan to Kenya, and perishing in a car accident, which became a very large controversy in South Sudan as well. And Emmanuel really, really cares about Emma and is very fond of her and dedicates a lot of his music and his activism to her, because she took Emmanuel and saved his life and got him out of this horror and gave him stability, education, a home. And essentially, after she died, her family took on Emmanuel and brought him to London.
And I mean, and it's an amazing story. You know, he sings that, you know, she was sent by an angel. She was his angel,
correct.
And you know, rescued him literally from dying in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. But now I've heard as well that there was a book written about Emma McCune. Is that right?
There's a book that was written by a Atlanta-based journalist called Deborah Scroggins, and she wrote a book called Emma's War, and it essentially is Emma's biography. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel shows up in that book in a couple of paragraphs. He was very young then, but Deborah describes Emma finding this young, adorable kid mm-hmm. called Emmanuel Gell, dragging an AK-47 that was taller than him. So it's very interesting how all these pieces have connected in this film.
I've heard rumor, at least, that they're thinking of making a feature film out of that book and about the life of Emma McCune.
Yes, there has been a lot of conversation about a movie, a feature film about Emma, also entitled Emma's War. I don't know what the status is of the production, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to hear something very soon. It was rumored that Nicole Kidman was going to play Emma and Denzel Washington, Riak. Is it true? I have no idea. The part that I know is that Tony Scott is going to direct it. Okay. And I believe it's going to be in production either this year or next year.
Excellent. So I guess back to the story. So Emma rescued Emmanuel. Again, through, like, I think, Emmanuel's charisma, he was able to secure a spot at sort of the most prestigious preparatory school in Kenya. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And then from there, his sort of that's where his, as we said before, his music career launched.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a sense, I guess, of how popular? I suspect most viewers have never heard of Emmanuel Gell, but can you give us a sense of how popular he is in Kenya and in Africa?
He's very popular in Kenya. Emmanuel, when you drive to Nairobi, you hear his music on the radio all the time. He's getting more and more popular in Europe. Even in universities in the U.S., he's becoming a figure. And I wouldn't be surprised if many actually have heard his music. He contributed a couple of tracks to the Blood Diamond movie, which starred Leonardo DiCaprio. He did some tracks for ER. And his music, people tend to recognize him. And I think they also start recognizing his name. He's been literally in every media outlet over the last couple of months, from CNN to Fox to mm-hmm. all the print magazines, radio. So I think people are becoming familiar with him. But no, he's not a household name per se yet, but his future is very, very bright.
Let me now try something that I haven't tried before on Blogging Heads here. I'm looking at Emmanuel Gell's YouTube page, and I'm going to play an excerpt from the title track of his album, War Child. And hopefully this will sound okay to viewers out there. Here we go, War Child, Emmanuel Jal. So I don't know if viewers would be able to hear the lyrics of the song, but clearly the lyrics of this song, like pretty much every one of his songs, are dealing directly with his experience as a war child and his sort of being rescued by Emma McCune. What strikes you, I guess, from watching your film, Kareem, is that Emmanuel, having gone through all these experiences, feels compelled to want to give back, despite mm-hmm. having gone through really the most horrible and traumatic experiences you can imagine. He's sort of truly a humanitarian at heart, mm-hmm. and wants to make his homeland, South Sudan, a better place, and mm-hmm. his home, his the village from which he came, a better place. And maybe one of the more dramatic parts of the film is when he returns for the first time to his home village. And I was hoping maybe you can sort of set the scene for us.
Yes, essentially the film has two parts to it. One is Emmanuel's backstory. He tells us about his experiences, how he participated in the war, got out of the war, ended up in London, and then how he came to America for a concert tour. The second part of the film is about him actually going back and essentially rediscovering his homeland. He hasn't been there in 20 years. He's very nervous. He doesn't know who's still alive. He knows there is a grandmother that he's very, very fond of. And essentially we start our journey in various refugee camps. Then we travel to Nairobi. We spend time in the slums in Nairobi. And then we finally get into South Sudan and we try to rediscover his family. And along the way, there's a lot of pain, but a lot of hope. He does learn tragic things that happened to his sister in one of the most powerful moments of the film. But then the film turns in a way, and it becomes very hopeful. He is able to reconnect with family. He's able to find a mission for himself, which is to contribute to school building in South Sudan. And I think this is what makes this film, and I know I'm biased as the one who made it, but this is what has made the film connect with a lot of audiences. It's not a conflict-driven film. It's not it's tragic, but it is also hopeful, and people come out after this film extremely inspired and feel good about it and feel that there's a solution to a much larger problem rather than leaving a film and being completely depressed. And I think this is what makes Emmanuel so interesting, that even despite all the horror, he's young, he's charismatic, he's a musician, he's extremely funny, and is really able to connect with people.
And he's created a foundation to called Gua Africa, and Gua is his first the name of his first sort of big hit in Kenya. Is that right?
Yes, Gua is the name of his first hit song, mm-hmm. and it also means power, strength, in various African dialects and also in Arabic.
And the goal is to build a school and a school in his sort of home village.
That's correct. For him, the solution is that this is something very tangible he can do, and is contribute to educating kids in southern Sudan, rehabilitating former child soldiers, and making a difference, and really becoming an active participant in the reconstruction of his country.
And I mean, it's hard to tell. Has his sort of success translated into financial success? Is this something he could sponsor on his own?
He is a rising musician. He's not a very wealthy musician, as you would imagine rappers to be, for example, here in the U.S. And he has tremendous financial responsibility at home. He has a number of children and family members. He has to support their education and their housing and their clothes and their food. So essentially everything he gets here, he sends back to support his family. Out of this film, Go Africa has been tremendously re-energized. And we have raised an incredible amount of money to the film, to screenings and events and his speeches to actually start building that school. And I believe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, a team is going out to southern Sudan to survey the land that exists for the school and to start drawing up some very concrete plans.
And it seems like there are a couple of scenes, actually three or four by my count, that take place in schools. It seems that Emmanuel is very he seems to be emerging as an education advocate as much as he is a child soldier advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, there are scenes where he's at a school in a refugee camp. There's a scene where he's at a school here in Washington D.C. in Southeast D.C. in Anacostia. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe describe that scene? How did Emmanuel end up at a school in Anacostia?
Good question. As we were trying to prepare his trip to America, we really wanted to understand what are the things he cares about. And he has that drive to essentially tell people about his story. And we thought, how about taking him into a school that is essentially very, very challenging, tough environment, gangs, drugs, underfinanced, and all these things. So we were able to connect with a teacher who teaches at the Anacostia High School here in Washington, and we brought him over to visit. And truly, it was quite an amazing experience because he realized, wow, there are also children also in America face problems. And he was really able to connect with these children who are really challenged and don't have the opportunities, or as little of the opportunities that he had when he was in southern Sudan. And I think they developed a special relationship where these kids were just blown away by a guy who essentially was a warrior, and it put a lot of things into perspective for them. And I think it was one of these really remarkable moments where kids really bonded and over experiences that many of us just can't understand.
And you know, I've said this before, but again, this scene and so many other scenes in the movie, and having met him in person and seen him in concert, you know, he's someone that you really want to root for and you want to see succeed. Mm-hmm. And again, that's part of his charisma. It's sort of just part of his personality, his persona. How, if viewers want to sort of get involved, if they want to support him, if they want to support his foundation, how can they do that? And if they want to support, frankly, the release of this film and sort of the widespread sort of viewing of this film.
Yes, there are a number of ways. One is he has a foundation called Gua Africa, as we spoke about, and the web link is gua-africaonline.org. Oh, no, actually, it is now gua-africa.org. And there's also a link from our website called warchildmovie.com, and it will take you directly to Gua Africa. And there are many ways supporting children, financing their education. Every dollar that comes in goes straight into these efforts. There's no overhead involved. As to the film, spread the word. We're trying to get this seen by as many people as possible. And as much interest that there is, that's how we're going to base our release and expand it towards many more cities than we're planning now. But, you know, there are many ways to do things, and just being part of the debate is a start, and being involved.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kareem. I recommend everyone who gets a chance to visit. We'll post a link to the movie's website as well as to Emmanuel Jal's Foundation's website. And I recommend everyone who has the opportunity to go out and see this film and tell your friends and family about it. It's powerful. And definitely check out Emmanuel's newish album. When it was released recently, right? The
War Child. Recently, yes.
Yeah, released here in the United States pretty recently. And, you know, support it. Watch it, enjoy it, and thank you very much, Kareem.